Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Okay, great, great, wonderful. I trust this message is for you this afternoon. Now, what happens is that in my church, whenever I preach, when Bible verses are projected on the screen, I get everybody read aloud with me together in church. You know why I do that? Because sometimes it's the only time they read the Bible in a whole week, okay? Say to your neighbor, he's not talking about you, okay? Because I know what total people love to read the Bible and dying to read the Bible. All you people say, amen. The louder your amen, my preaching gets better and better. Amen. Okay, thank you for that, all right? Now I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word. Is that okay? Reading in your strongest, loudest, most robust what total voice. Is that okay? All right, reading from the NIV, which is a never incorrect version of the Bible. We're going to read together. Is it okay? Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15, together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Our Father, we thank and praise you, O God, that you inspired this, your word, that is preserved and kept over the centuries. Now take your word that you inspired, Father, we pray, and speak to each one of us and draw us in response, we ask. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? Amen. Thank you. Well, how many of you have been hurt at least once in your life? You have been hurt or wounded at least once. Can I see your hands? Okay, how many of you? Can I see your hands? Well, if your hand is not up, you're almost like Jesus. Okay, never hurt at all will never be hurt, isn't it? All right, okay, all right. Can I ask a show of hands? Prince, you know, you're in church, you're in a Watoto church, cannot tell lies. Is it okay? All right, is it okay? How many of us, we have been hurt at least once? You have been hurt, right, at least once by someone in your life. Can I see your hands? Okay, great, great, wonderful. That's great. It's fantastic. But friends, you know, the reality of life and living is this. Hurts, wounds, and pains, it's a normal part of life. It's a common part of life. That's something, okay, the next slide. Something that we don't run away from. That's a reality. And that's the tragedy of it all, we also know and understand. But you know what, friends? This hurts, wounds, and pains, it produces in us anger, resentment, and bitterness. Now, sometimes we get so upset, that's our human problem. Okay, with the next slide. That's our human problem, friends. The human problem is that these wounds and pains in us that we experience results in each one of us, all right, bitterness, anger, resentment, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like even want to take revenge on the person who has hurt us, am I right? How many of us, for example, we love to watch movies, Jackie Chan, Chinese Kung Fu fighting movies. Can you see them? Jackie Chan Kung Fu movies. Wow, so many of you. God bless you all. You know, I asked this question in Moscow, in Russia. I asked the same question in Sao Paulo, in Brazil. I said, how many love Jackie Chan Kung Fu movies? Every hand went up. Okay, God bless you all. I love this church because it's a movie-loving church. This is great, wonderful. I love movies as well. How many watch Kung Fu Panda? See your hands. Kung Fu Panda. My goodness. God bless you all. I use Kung Fu Panda to teach on leadership. Because Kung Fu Panda is amazing insights and understanding about leadership. But no time for me to talk. Maybe another time we'll talk Kung Fu Panda. Is it okay? But friends, you know what? Many times when we are hurt, we're upset, we're angry. What happens to us? We refuse to talk to that person. Am I right? Not uncommon to see two persons who could be the best of friends ending up not talking to each other. And sometimes, friends, not talking to each other for years. Sometimes two brothers, two sisters not talking to each other. An uncle and auntie not talking to each other. Sometimes, friends, you know, two communities not talking to each other. Or even two nations not talking to each other because there's serious conflict with each other. And friends, you know, when you and I, we are hurt in our life. See, friends, hurt for all of us is always to do something in the past. Right? It is always something to do with the past when we are hurt and wounded. Am I right? Isn't it? It's always something that's happened in the past. That's why we are hurt and wounded. But friends, you know what? If we harbor this hurt in our heart, it means that this hurt has imprisoned our present and prevent us from living into the future. That's the reality of it all. If we harbor this in our heart, so the past has imprisoned our present and has kept us from living into the future. And sadly, friends, you know what? Some people living in the past all the time, because they're filled with so much anger, hatred, and bitterness in their hearts. Give an example. I was preaching this church in Malaysia. At the end of the service, there's a senior lady who walked up for prayer together with a grown-up daughter. And she said to Pastor Dale, can you pray for my husband, her father? He's such an angry man. For the last number of years, he refused to come to church because he's so angry about so many things in life. I said, I'm so sorry to hear about that. I said, why don't you get my message that I just preached? All right, why don't you get hold of the tape and let your husband listen? I trust it will help him in some ways. You know what she said to me? If I get your message and let my husband listen, he's going to kill me. This is a kind of man, unfortunately. Friends, can I say, if we harbor anger, bitterness in our hearts, life is not what we eat. Life is what eats us. And we can be eaten from the inside out by bitterness, anger, and resentment. You know that? And some people literally be just torn apart by all kinds of hatred, anger in their hearts that they harbor without realizing they've been imprisoned themselves. And therefore, as a result, not living into the future like this, isn't it? What is the solution? What is the answer to anger, hatred, bitterness in our hearts? The answer is found in the Christian message. That it is only in a Christian message, my friends, that it talks about forgiveness that is so important and needed for all of us in our lives. Because in no other faiths and no other religions, it talks about the need to forgive. But only in the Christian faith, you know that? Only a Christian faith, you and I hear about the whole message of forgiveness again and again, right throughout Scripture like this for all of us. And because we are taught about it, that's the reason why, especially for us as Christians, you and I must forgive. Why must we forgive? I can think of at least four reasons as to why we must forgive. Friends, the first reason is because of the command of Scripture, the command of the Word of God, isn't it? What does Apostle Paul tell us? Friends, here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, okay, come, let's read together, okay, this passage of Scripture together. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, friends, the Bible commands us to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us, isn't it? And because God in Christ has forgiven, that's the reason we must forgive. And friends, as you and I, who are Bible-believing Christians, who seek to honor God and obey God's word, surely when God gives us His command, you and I want to obey, and all God's people say. Yeah. There's a second reason why you and I must obey. The second reason, friends, is because of the example of Jesus. That the Lord Jesus Christ Himself sets a wonderful example for us, friends. You know why? Because there, hanging on the cross, for no sin of His own, but for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, there, hanging on the cross, Jesus Christ prays to God the Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Am I right? Okay, that's a passage of Scripture. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, friends, if you and I would be on the cross for no sin of our own, what would you do? What would I do? I would probably pray to God the Father, Father, punish them nicely and properly for all they've done to me. Am I right? Okay? Or Heavenly Father, send Jackie Chan to deal with them all nicely. Am I right or wrong? But friends, not in the case of Jesus. Father, forgive them. Friends, Jesus does not teach about forgiveness. He modeled it for all of us, even on the cross, isn't it? For no wrong of His own. And that's the reason why, friends, we find that the power of the Christian message is not just about talk, it's about action, as we've seen it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a third reason why you and I must forgive. The third reason is otherwise, we have no right to come to God in prayer. You know that? No right at all to come to God in prayer. What is the reason behind it? Friends, this is exactly what Jesus Christ teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that we talked about earlier on. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 12, this is what it says. Come, let's read together again. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, I prefer the Luke's version of this passage of Scripture. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, isn't it? Now, you notice, friends, Jesus Christ, in teaching us about this, oftentimes called the Lord's Prayer or the family prayer, isn't it? Jesus Christ, in this part of the prayer, says to you and I that when we pray to God the Father, when we ask God the Father for forgiveness of our sins, Jesus is also saying there's the other part of it that you must do. As we ask God the Father, forgive us of our sins, Jesus says, you must also be prepared to forgive those who sin against you. You follow? So if you're unprepared to forgive those who sin against you, you have no right to ask God for forgiveness, and therefore no right to come to God in prayer. You see the sequence, okay, of the logic behind it. That until unless we're willing to forgive those who sin against us, we cannot ask God the Father forgiveness, and therefore no right to come to God in prayer. It shows how serious, friends, the need to forgive is for all of us in our lives to sin. And so, friends, you know, the third reason why Jesus tells us that you and I must forgive is because otherwise we have no right at all to come to God in prayer. There's a fourth reason as to why. The fourth reason is that otherwise we will not experience or know the Father's forgiveness. We will not know the Father's forgiveness. Why? Because it's what Jesus Christ tells us like this, friends, in Matthew chapter 6, right, verses 14 and 15. Come, let's read together. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Friends, you know, these are not my words. It's the words of Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? All right? That if we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, we likewise would not experience the Father's forgiveness. This is scary, but this is true. These are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, isn't it, to you and me like this. So you notice, friends, there is at least four reasons why you and I must forgive. Firstly, the command of Scripture. Secondly, the example of Jesus. Thirdly, otherwise we have no right to come to God in prayer. But fourthly, friends, otherwise we will not experience the Father's forgiveness. I pray and trust by now you are reasonably convinced that we must forgive. Amen? Okay, let me rewind, since many of you didn't hear. Okay, I trust by now we are reasonably convinced that you and I, we must all forgive. Amen? Isn't it great? But maybe you say to me, Pastor Daniel, but how many times must I forgive? Especially that guy's a real pain in the neck. How many of us were willing to forgive someone up to three times? You're willing to forgive people up to three times? See your hands. How many of you? Okay. Two, three, four, five hands. Okay. How many of you? More than three times. See your hands. More than three times. My goodness. The rest of you looks like you're unwilling to forgive anybody. All right. This is a dangerous place to be. I better get out of this church here now. Pastor Eddie, where are you? No wonder you disappeared yourself. Isn't it? How many times must I forgive someone who has done wrong to me? Friends, can I say, it is not just your question and my question. It is equally a question of Apostle Peter. You know, Peter, he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus this, okay? How many times he must forgive? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Come, let's read together. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. To forgive someone, not just seven times, but 77 times. What does it mean by forgiving someone 77 times? What does it mean? Now, it does not mean this. This is not what Jesus meant. If someone hurt you, you say to that guy, my friend, you got 76 times left, okay? And if he hurts you a second time, say, you watch out, you've got 75 times left. Friends, this is not your understanding of forgiving someone 77 times. It is not keeping score, all right, about what times, what number of times people hurt you. That's not your understanding, right? What is the meaning of 77? Maybe let's take firstly seven. Now, I believe what to do, church, you're well taught about the number seven in Scripture. Seven in Scripture represents what? A perfect number. Amen? A number of perfection, isn't it? That's number seven. But what about 77? What about 77? 77 means, friends, you know what? It goes on and on and on and on. It is like God forgiving us again and again and again, isn't it? So, for example, how many of us, we've confessed to God, okay, 77 times, confessing our sins, at least 77 to see your hands. How many of you? All right, at least 77 times. Can I see your hands? Let's be honest. You're in church. You cannot tell lies. This is okay. How many of us? You're confessing more than 77. See your hands. Can I see them? Wow, my goodness. Pastor Eddie. Okay, Sister Martha. This church is full of sinners. Okay, sinners all over the place. My goodness. Okay. But friends, can I say it's okay? You'll notice my hand is up as well, isn't it? Now, have you ever come across when we confess our sins to God, God may just one day tell us, my son, my daughter, your quota is up. Because today, you have confessed 77 times now. From tomorrow onwards, no more forgiveness. You ever see God telling us this? He doesn't, isn't it? He doesn't at all. What is the reason? Yes, of course, we try not to do wrong. We seek to try not to sin. But sometimes, unfortunately, we do wrong, isn't it? For example, even sometimes the way we look at one another. Hello? Some of you, the way you look at me, not very friendly this morning, this afternoon. Okay. So sometimes just by our looks, people are upset. Am I right or not? Just by our looks, people are upset. Maybe just of our handshake, people are upset. People say, Pastor Julius, today your handshake is not as warm as before. Is there something wrong with you or with me that your handshake is not as warm before? Sometimes so many things can upset us, can hurt us, isn't it? But friends, you know, when we're hurt, we're wounded, what do? We come to God, likewise confessing our sins to God. And God chooses to forgive us again and again. You see, we seek not to do wrong, but sometimes we still do, unfortunately. All right, when we come to God in humble repentance and ask God for forgiveness, He forgives us. Are you there? It's very, very important, isn't it? So therefore, friends, as to how many times that we should forgive, it goes on and on and on. I know it is hard, it is difficult, it is very painful, I know. But friends, until unless we're prepared to do that, we find there's no breakthrough in our lives. There is no change and transformation. Give you one example. I was preaching at a big church in Singapore. At the end of the service, a number of people lined up to want to see me. And the last person who saw me was a very fine-looking gentleman in his mid-40s. And he said to him, Pastor Daniel, thank you for your message. I believe God has spoken to me about this message you've just spoken. And he said to me with tears in his eyes, Pastor Daniel, you know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go to my lawyer's office and tell my lawyer, would you please tear up the divorce papers that I've instituted against my wife? Would you please tear the divorce papers? See, friend, this man, God spoke to him and touched him. But you know what? After that, the senior pastor took me to his car so that we could go out for lunch. And I saw him walking towards his own car. And you know, friends, I saw he drives a very nice car, all right. He drives a real fancy car. Friends, can I say, driving a fancy car is no indication things are okay on the inside. Living in a big house is no indication things are okay on the inside. Because, friends, sometimes when we live in a big house, we can hide from each other in different rooms in our house. That's why it is good, it is better to live in a smaller house. Hello? Isn't it? That we cannot hide from one another. Right now, that we need to confront, we need to meet and work things through together, friends. And also, friends, can I say, holding a fantastic job is no indication things are okay on the inside. You follow what I'm trying to say? It's very important. Nothing to do with our position, with our power, with our prestige, with our possession, with whatever else, friends. It is on the inside God wants to deal with, on the inside. And thank God for this man. There was breakthrough from his life as a result of hearing the word of God preached to him, spoke to him, willing to humble himself, willing to repent, confess of his sins, and put right in his relationship with his wife himself. See, friends, sometimes you know what? On the wedding day, we are marrying our best friend. Amen? Not very convincing amen here. Okay? Are your marriages all right? Are your marriages okay? Okay? On the wedding day, we are marrying our best friend. Okay? Well, friends, can I say that best friend that we married on the wedding day could not long after, if we're not careful, become the worst of enemy. As in, we're willing to fight each other. We need to break up the relationship. We're going to willing to call off, forget about it all. And that's the reason for our friends. Deep down in our hearts, we need God to deal with us, the hardness of our heart. Isn't it? We need God to touch our life and to learn grace and humility, to learn humility and openness to each other, to repent, confess, ask for forgiveness when we've done wrong to each other. And all God's people say. But friends, you know, it is not just what we must forgive, not just how many times we must forgive. More importantly, friends, what happens to us when we forgive? What happens to us when we forgive? Friends, can I say, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. God will never force us to forgive. You know that? God will never say to us, for example, my son, you are a church leader, you are a pastor, shame on you if you don't forgive. God will never do that. No, God will not say to us likewise, you have been a Christian for 30 years, shame on you if you don't forgive. He will never do that. He leaves it to you and me to decide. In our decision, friends, it will determine whether we come out all right or we're not come out all right at all. Okay. And so therefore, what happens to us when we choose to forgive? At least three things will happen to us. The first reason is because it sets me free when I choose to forgive. All right. Second reason, it sets the other person free. Not only sets me free, it sets the other person free. Right? Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Supposing someone who has hurt you, you have not forgiven that person. Every time you see that person, even think about that person, what happens to you on the inside? You don't feel good at all. Am I right? You don't feel good at all. So what is happening to you on the inside? You're not free. You're not free. Not only you're not free, friends, because if you're not forgiven that person, all right, when you see that person, what happens in your heart? You're saying to that person, my friend, we got a score to settle. Until that score is settled, I'm not prepared to let you go. What are we doing? We're holding on to him and caging him in the prison of our heart. You know that? That's what we're doing. When we don't forgive, we're holding on to that person. We say we got a score to settle. Until that score is settled, I'm not prepared to let you go. So therefore, I'm holding on to you and caging you in the prison of my heart. So what has happened? He's not free as well, as much as you're not free. So friends, the reality is this. One unforgiveness results in two prisoners. You know that? One unforgiveness results in two prisoners. And friends, can I say, there are more prisoners walking the streets of Kampala than all the prisoners in all the prisons of Uganda put together. Hello, are you there? Because a person may look free, may even walk free in the streets of Kampala, but they harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment in their heart. Honestly speaking, not free. And there are more prisoners who walk free, who look free, but honestly, they're not free at all. And there's a scary thing about unforgiveness, my friends. Every unforgiveness results in two prisoners. And friends, can I say, there are more prisoners walking the streets of every city around the world than all the prisons or prisoners in prisons put together. That's the reality of it all. Isn't like this? Right? Given another example, I was preaching this church in Singapore. And at the end, I make an altar call for those who need prayer. I was surprised, right on the front row, that section, all right? The executive pastor of the church put up his hand of this massive church, all right? And he comes from America. So I was quite surprised what's happened to him, put up his hand. At the end, he himself told me the story. He said, you know, Pastor Daniel, why did I put up my hand? I put up my hand on behalf of my brother in America, because my brother in America has not been talking to our father for many, many years now. He really needs help. He really needs breakthrough. And I put up my hand on his behalf, believing that God will do something. We're going to touch him, soften his heart. God will humble him so that he will repent of his sins and put himself right with the Father, our Father. Friends, that's what unforgiveness will do to us. Break us in our relationship and tear us apart. What a tragedy. What a shame, isn't it? I remember conducting a funeral 25 years ago in Malaysia of this senior lady who has passed away. Halfway to the funeral, two young girls, at that time 14, 15 years old, stood up and halfway to the funeral service left. I thought you'll probably go to the washroom or toilet and will return, but you're not, never to return. So I became quite curious, just want to find out what's the matter. You know what I found out, friends? That is, two young girls, 14, 15 years old, 25 years ago, received a small little note, handwritten note from the father. All right, this was pre-handful, mobile phone days. Received a small little note from the father. And the father ordered the two girls to leave the funeral service and not to carry on attending the funeral service of grandmother. Now, the father who wrote the note to them, himself is a son of this woman who passed away. Not only he himself refused to come to the mother's funeral, would not allow the daughters to attend the grandmother's funeral. How foolish can you get? Harboring that kind of anger, bitterness, resentment, willing to fight your mother to the grave. Who wins? Nobody. Satan who wins. But I believe, friends, you and I here, Watoto Church, we are all smarter than that. And all smart people say, amen, isn't it? We are surely smarter than that, isn't it? But friends, when we harbor unforgiveness, it enslaves us, it imprisons us, so that we are not free. And we harbor this against someone, that person is not free as well. And that's why, friends, what happens to us when we choose to forgive, it sets me free. It sets the other person free. Because when I choose to forgive, I want to let the person go. The moment I let the person go, it means I free myself as well. You follow that? That's the third reason why. What happens to us when we choose to forgive? The third reason is that there is healing for us in our lives. There is amazing healing. Why? Because it's how, you know, this Apostle James writes to us like this. In James chapter 5, verse 16. Come, let's read together. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You see, friends, we're told to confess our sins to each other. So therefore, when we hurt each other, what do? We ask for forgiveness. We confess our sins, isn't it? So that when we come before God and kneel before God, ask for forgiveness for each other, God brings healing in our relationship, isn't it? Like, for example, even between husband and wife, sometimes we've got differences and conflicts and quarrels. Do we have? No. Wow, Watoto Church, perfect marriages. Yeah, I need to move and become part of Watoto Church as well. Hey, come on, all right? Okay, let's be honest. Now, sometimes amongst us, husband and wife, we do have differences and conflicts. And do we have? Isn't it? All right, sometimes we hurt one another by saying things that are unhelpful, totally not needed at all, isn't it? But if we're willing to humble ourselves before God and before each other, and acknowledge our sins and ask God for forgiveness, what happens at the end of the prayer? We find at the end, when we both get up from our time of prayer and confession, repentance, before God and before each other, what happens at the end? We feel that we are closer to each other than before. Amen? Isn't it? We feel we are closer. Why? Because there is a bonding, there's a healing that God brings to pass like this. And this is an amazing thing, friend, for you and I as children of God, for you and I who are Christians, that in Jesus Christ, there is help, there is healing, and there is wholeness for every one of us when we humble ourselves before God, isn't it? This is an amazing thing, friends, for you and I. But friends, you know, sometimes there are people who come up to me and say, Pastor Dan, you don't understand the wound and pain I've gone through. It is so deep, it is impossible to forgive, isn't it? The wound and pain is so deep, it is hard to forgive, almost impossible to forgive. You know what I say to people like this? When they tell that to me, it is too hard to forgive. I will say to them, my friend, can I take you to the foot of the cross and look at Jesus? Look at what he went through on the cross. Because your pain and my pain is no comparison to the pain that Jesus Christ went through on the cross. Amen, isn't it? So therefore, only if we fully understand the agony, the pain that Jesus Christ went through, then you and I will fully appreciate and understand why it is important for us to forgive, isn't it? But maybe you have heard the other thing as well. The other thing is about to forgive and forget. How many of you have been told? Come on, forgive and forget. How many have been told that? Can I see your hands? How many of you? Yeah, it's a common thing, isn't it? Forgive and forget. Right now, friends, can I say this is unbiblical? Honestly, for example, I believe many of you good people here in Great Watoto Church, I'm sure you've forgiven all those who hurt you. But how many of you still remember to this very day all the wrongs done to you, even the way the guy holds his finger at you, the way he looks at you and that kind of, how many of you still remember? So I see your hands. You have really forgiven. You have really forgiven. You still remember. Oh, God have mercy upon Pastor Eddie. You remember everything. God have mercy upon you. My goodness, my goodness. What friends can I say? It's perfectly all right. It's perfectly all right. In fact, it is not unbiblical. In fact, you notice, friends, why do I say forgive and forget is unscriptural, unbiblical? Because if it is so, we shouldn't be reading the Bible, this book, the Word of God. You know why? Because this book contains tons of wrongs and sins of God's people that's committed in the past. Amen, isn't it? And therefore, if we're supposed to forget, we shouldn't be reading the Bible at all. Amen. And yet we're told to read the Bible again and again here in Watoto Church, isn't it? What is the purpose of reading through the sins of people done wrong? What is the purpose of it all? So that we remember, but more important, we are warned not to do the same thing, not to commit the same mistake as these people made. Hello, are you following? Isn't it? In us, friends, when we come to the Word of God to read all the sins and wrongs of God's people for centuries, the purpose is that let's learn from the broken noses of all these people done wrong and keep our one and only nine single nose. Hello? Isn't it? Learn from all the broken noses. Keep your one and only precious nose, isn't it? That's so important for all of us, like this. And so, friends, you know, it is not forgive and forget. It is forgive and forbear. Forbearance is not, I just have to stand that guy until he dies and I die, then it's all over. No, no, no. It is, in the Bible, it is forbearance in love. Forbearance in love. All right? It is able to still reach out to that person whom we have forgiven and love that person. All right? The way Jesus loves him or her. Hello, you there? Isn't it? So therefore, it's not forgive and forget. Forgive and forbear. It's forbearance and love. And it's so important, isn't it, for you and I. And that's the reality of it all. There's one final thing, friends. How do I know that I have truly forgiven? How do I know that I've really forgiven? You know, sometimes someone whom you hurt very deeply, and the guy says, you know, Daniel, just forgive. Yeah, it's all over. It's okay. That's fine. Sometimes you just wonder, is he sincere or not? And say, yeah, it's okay. No, 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 no. All right? Because you hurt that guy deeply, isn't it? So, friends, what is a test that you're really forgiven that person? What is a true test of it all? Let me give you an example. Suppose you got a cut on your hand. And after the wound is healed, the scar remains. Amen? Hello? The scar remains. But if it is properly healed, you rub hard over the scar. There will be no pain. But if it is not properly healed, you rub a little bit. It's painful, isn't it? And so it is like this, friends. It is like this. If you remember the incident and see that person, for example, whom you said you're forgiven, the test is this. Is there any pain still in your heart? Is there any pain still in your heart? Because if there's some pain, you have not truly forgiven that person totally, completely. You may say you have, but if you see that person, think about that person who have hurt you before, that you say you're forgiven. If there's still some pain, friends, you have not dealt with it completely. You and I need to come before God and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I thought I have forgiven. There's still some pain, oh God. Have mercy. Forgive me, Father, of my sin and my wrong. And you go up to that person and say to that person, my friend, I want to say that I'm so sorry. I still harbor this in my heart. There's still some pain. Would you please forgive me? Friends, you and I need to go up to that person to put it right with that person. Is it okay? Don't just keep it to yourself. Put it right. So that, friends, we break that bond that's kept us apart. So that by God's grace, we are healed and restored in a wonderful manner. Are you there? And it's so important, isn't it? So we walk in freedom, in peace and in joy. And that's why Jesus Christ has come for all of us like this, to bring breakthrough, to bring change and transformation for all of us, isn't it? Let me close with this story. I was preaching in a church in London, England, several years ago. At the end of a message, I make an altar call. I say, those who like to be prayed for, would you raise up your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Several people put up their hand. But right at the back in the last row, there's a lady who put up a hand. And the lady put up a hand like this. More like a finger rather than a hand that she has put up. So I said, for those who put up their hands, would you please come to the front here? We'd like to pray for you. And you know what, friends? Thank God the lady right at the back who put her finger like this came to the front to be prayed for. And she was prayed for. After the prayer, on the way out, the pastor of the church pulled me aside and said, Daniel, you see this lady walking out? And then the pastor told me the story. The pastor, this lady, she was originally from Romania. When she was growing up in Romania, unfortunately, the father and mother used to quarrel, used to, in fact, fight and become very violent in the relationship. And poor girl, sometimes she's at the wrong end of receiving some of this vitriol and violence as well. And then later, the father divorced the mother. And the mother was no longer in a good frame of mind to take care of the daughter and left the daughter with her husband. Later on, the father met a charming lady, fell in love, and remarried. But you know, friends, not long after, the marriage started spiraling downwards. Differences, conflicts, quarrels, violence start taking place again. And this poor young girl grew up in that kind of home where there's so much bitterness, hatred, anger taking place, and violence and beatings. You know what she said in her heart? One day when I grow up, I will make sure my father gets back what he deserves for doing this to mom and now to stepmom. I will make sure I'll hit it back at my father. But that particular afternoon, Sunday afternoon at church there in London, when she was prayed for, she said this: for the first time in my life, all the heartaches and burdens and pains that I carry, for the first time in my life, this was removed from my shoulders. And for the first time in my life, I walked free and I'll be able to move in freedom like this. Friends, you know, many times these wounds and pains can hold us back from living into the future, can weigh us down and prevent experiencing breakthroughs in our lives. I believe, friends, today, this afternoon, is it a freedom? Is it a breakthrough? Is it a deliverance for many, many of us this afternoon? Amen. Amen. Come, let's pray.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.